Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on a very rainy day here, Saturday night. We're trying to, I don't think we're going to get flooded or anything like that, but it sure looks like rain. It's been kind of rainy a little bit all day long, and I think that it's the kind of night where you're probably going to have an umbrella if you're going out for dinner or something like that. Other than that, it's an absolutely lovely spring day. The temperatures are great, I mean. But it's raining, and of course we do get rain in spring. What else can I say? Well, today we're going to be chatting about the Mueller report. This is the day after, literally 24 hours ago, that the Mueller report hit the fan, if you want to put it that way. It certainly had a lot to say by not saying anything, because the report itself has not been made public. I mean, the report is still private. I mean, there's only like about a handful of people who've read the report. But I think the big headline, the big conclusion of the report is that, of course, there won't be any indictments. And that has brought about some rather severe cases of depression among some people on the other side who I thought must have been very heavily invested that this report was going to end up nailing President Trump, something that I never believed. I never really believed it. But anyway, it is what it is. It's a good time to chat with our friend George Rodriguez down in San Antonio. George, give me a weather report. I don't know if you heard me say that we've been kind of like raining off and on, and we fear more rain tonight, but we're not going to get flooded or anything like that.
We're supposed to have some thunderstorms here shortly.
Okay.
And it's gotten really, really dark. And we're expecting some thunderstorms rolling through. They're not supposed to last all night, but it's going to be spotty. But
it's about nice.
Other than that, it's not too bad. It's not too bad.
No, it's about the same here. You know, it's just a little rain, but the grass, that's it. The grass needs the rain, and we need the rain. And the temperatures are very much in line with this time in the month of March. So we shouldn't complain about the weather. Who said, why complain about the weather? You can't do anything about it anyway.
That's right.
Who said that?
That's
Was it Rogers, the comedian? Somebody said that. I don't complain about the weather because I can't do anything
about Will Rogers,
it.
Will Rogers,
he said something like that. Well, George, before we get into all the heavy stuff we want to get into today, I want to get your thoughts on what's happening on the border and then your reaction to the Mueller report. I just learned this today, and I remember reading it years ago, and I forgot all about it. But Joan Crawford, who was born on this day in 1905, was born in San Antonio. I'd forgotten
yes.
about it. Is that something that people talk about a lot in San Antonio?
Yes. In fact, her house is the Joan Crawford house is very, very famous they call it the King William section of town, which is right south of downtown. It's just right south of downtown. It's a resurgent yuppie area now.
Mm-hmm.
Her house, very modest, but it still stands, got a plaque on it and whatnot. And, she went on to bigger and greater things, that's for sure.
Did she ever come back to San Antonio?
She came back in the 40s during the war years. She came back several times because we had at that point five, if you can believe, five military bases, three dedicated to the Air Corps, including the biggest one, Randolph, where everybody learned to fly. And so she came back to do war bonds and to do tours and whatnot at that point. Now, she would come, the story has always said that she came very, very, she would come very quietly and by herself, because the person that was the chairman or we would call them chairperson nowadays, the chairman of the actors' war bond effort was none other than Betty Davis.
Mm. No, interesting.
So she would come in very independently of the Actors Guild, and it was quite fun. We must visit at a different time, because I had the great opportunity in 1981, and just prior to a Thanksgiving dinner, of sitting at a table in Washington at the White House with none other than Miss Betty Davis and Olivia de Havilland. And I'll have to tell you a bunch of great stories about that. But yeah, Joan Crawford was here in San Antonio, born. She wasn't raised here necessarily, but she was, I think that at the age of 14 or something like that, she left. She was born here in San Antonio.
Yeah, what an amazing actress she was. Her name, real name, was Lucille Faye Lesueur, L-E-S-U-E-U-R. It has a little French to that. I don't know.
Yes.
If she was, at least her father was of French descent.
She was,
what an amazing
They were
lady.
Belgian.
Oh, okay. All right. Interesting. Yeah. Interesting story. Well, two big things I wanted to pick your brain about today, our friend George, and that is the Mueller report and of course, the situation down on the border, which is not a crisis, but it's overflowing. I don't know. I mean, if my home was overflooded with water coming out of all the places, I think I would call it a crisis, but maybe it's a crisis of language. But let's talk about the Mueller report. A lot of expectation. It turned out to be not what I think a lot of people suspected. You had people literally going on TV, George, I'm sure you heard about them, who were saying, they were even saying, one guy even said that he would delete his Twitter account if Mueller did not come back with indictments, and specifically an indictment of one of the president's sons. Well,
right.
The guy still has his Twitter account, and none of the sons have been indicted. But here's how I look at it, and I want to get your reaction. And I have a post about this at the American Thinker tomorrow that will be appearing on Sunday morning. And what I say on that post, George, is that I think the biggest loser of this whole thing was not Mueller. I think in the end, Mueller didn't turn out to be that bad. The winner was, you could say, Trump, because he was not, indicted or his case, he basically turned out to be right. There's no collusion. But I think the biggest loser has got to be the media, and specifically
yes.
those members of the media
yes.
who got really
exactly.
invested in this, George. I mean, they got really invested
exactly.
in this investigation in ways that I have never seen before. I mean, I remember Watergate. You and I were young men back then. And, the media, yes.
We were in elementary school. We were in elementary school.
That's it. But that's it. Maybe, yeah, a little bit like that. But anyway, seventh grade, George.
Yeah, there you go.
But the truth is that the media was a little bit more careful back then in sticking its neck out saying, Nixon is going to be impeached. I mean, the truth of the matter is, even 2 months before he resigned, there was no indication that he was going to resign by the media. But in this case, it seems to me that there were so many people who really got ahead of themselves. And, George, you had this, and I mentioned this in my article, you had this sequence of story after story. Mueller is looking into this according to a source close to the investigation. Mueller is looking into this according to someone familiar with the investigation. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. And I think that's the real loser. I
could not agree more.
I think some of the media are going to have a hard time getting their reputation back, George.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It was not more than about a week ago that from ABC, Koppel.
Ted Koppel, yeah.
On it went publicly at George Washington University and told the media to stop it, literally told the media to stop it. and told them that, you know, that they had done themselves a disservice by blatantly going after after Trump. Who else was it? There was another noted journalist.
Well, there was a lady. Yeah, there was a lady.
Oh, yeah, from ABC
Logan.
News. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, from
Logan
ABC News.
Actually, CBS. Yeah,
yeah,
Lady Logan.
Or CBS.
Her
yeah,
name,
CBS
yeah,
News.
Her last
and
name
she
is
did
Logan.
Likewise.
That's right.
You know, it's absolutely true. I mean, they have so much egg on their face, and they are still, most of them are still not backing off on this matter.
Mm-hmm.
The Washington Post and the New York Times, this morning had had a byline that was literally about as left-handed of a compliment as you can give Trump, saying that the Mueller investigation didn't find anything at this time. Well, you know, it's over. It's over. What do you mean, at this time? It is over. And, you know,
yeah, that's
this,
like saying,
this situation.
That's like saying the team won game 7, so they've won the World Series as of this time.
I mean, it really is pathetic. And you're right. I think it's going to, you know, anybody who knows anything about journalism and politics is going to recognize how much damage they have done to themselves. And it would be a good time for, you know, the news media, the journalists, the big name journalists, the big name newspapers and networks to quiet down and regroup and become more sane. Because this is the, you know, they have led in this Trump derangement syndrome. I mean, they have led the way, and they really, really need to reassess themselves and their behavior.
Right.
They really need
to. Yeah, they need to roll it back a little bit because they're hurting themselves. And, you know, I think that all these stories that we kept hearing, George, you know, one after another, for a while there about, you know, somebody close to the investigation told us this, or, you know, somebody close to the investigation said this. And none of that turned out to be true. None of it turned out to be true. And I don't know how you get your reputation back after that many mistakes. One mistake, yes.
Yeah.
But that many mistakes, I do.
Yeah,
now, let
yeah.
me bring up another point, George, because a lot of people, I mean, you heard some of the Democrats, you know, particularly the Democrats running for president and some of the House Democrats, and they're still saying, well, yeah, we didn't find anything right now, but, you know, more investigation needs to happen. I don't think that's the way it's going to go, George, because, this is my opinion. I want to get your reaction to this, but I think that there is a certain amount of investigation fatigue in the country. And
right.
I think if the Democrats say, well, we're going to start another investigation, I think a lot of Americans are going to say, wait a minute, we just had 2 years of this. Nothing came up. Why don't you get to work instead of just investigating? I think this
exactly.
is not going to work out that well for the Democrats. They're going to investigate at their own risk, George. And then there's another problem, too, and that's within the ranks. I think a lot of Democrats elected in November – you know, they don't want to be. They need to get something on the resume to come back home with for re-election. And so far, they don't have anything, George.
Well, let me give you the comparison that I've seen. Right after Watergate, you saw, you know, the Washington Post and Woodward and Bernstein do several laps, you know, in victory. And the Democrats, you know, they did win in 1976. However, when the Iran-Contra thing broke out, that could have been, you know, during the Reagan administration, that could have become a big, big issue. But the news media was very, and the Democrats were very, very cautious, because they had just taken a terrible beating from Reagan and from the Republicans in 1981, because they had been so festive and so, you know, patting themselves on the back and carrying on about Nixon, et cetera, et cetera. They hurt themselves in 1979 and the 1980. They really did. And so when another potential scandal came up in 82, they were gun shy. They were gun shy. I think that's the same thing that's going to happen now with the Democrats with this situation, is that, you know, they have made such a big deal out of this, and they have been so hateful of Trump and antagonistic that, the reaction from the voter is going to become very, very swift and hard. And I think that, the ones that know politics, the ones that are mature, because I'm sorry to say, I think you've got a bunch of them that are very, very immature, but the ones that are mature are going to be very, very quiet and are going to be very careful on what is said and how it's said.
Oh, I agree with you. I agree with you. I think that there's going to be a lot of people. Again, you're always going to have the impeach Trump today crowd. But I'm not sure that they're going to be listened to that much, because they got to keep that majority. And they have an 18 seat majority, basically 18 seats. And all they have to do is lose 20, which is not an unreasonable number. I mean, that's not a big election, and they've lost their majority. And there's a lot of these moderates, they're called, that are saying, okay, let's get to work. We got to get some things done. We got to go back home and tell people that we did something. So I think overall it was a good report for President Trump. I have to admit, I think Mueller came out okay. At least, he didn't, he came out decently out of this. And it's up to the Democrats now to not overreact and just say, okay, let's do something with our time here. Let's govern. George, let me flip to the other topic that I want to talk with you about tonight, and that is the border situation. We're hearing of an overflow of migrants, of people, that they've been forced, some to be released because they simply cannot hold them anymore. What is it that you're seeing? What is it that you're hearing close to the border, George?
Well, and, I have been talking to lots of my old friends within the Border Patrol and within immigration, as well as the new guys that are on the front lines right now. I've been talking to them, extensively for the past month since these caravans begin to arrive. What we've got, first of all, is that we've got busloads and truckloads of people being literally chauffeured, transported, whatever word you want to use, from Central America to the border. This is a new phenomenon. This is not something that was done before. This is something brand new. It's not Mexicans. It is Central Americans mostly, as well as a mixture of others, Nigerians, Venezuelans, it's a mixture, but it's mostly Central Americans. Also, it's mostly people claiming to be families. People claiming to be families, whether it's a man and a woman and a child, or a woman with children. It also includes a lot of minors. I mean, literally, some of the guys were telling me that they are receiving now children as young as 6 years old who have been coached, who have been given notes on what to say to the Border Patrol. These people are shipped to the border, and then they cross. They literally cross. Either they are crawling under the fence, being waded across the river, or they are just walking across the border and introducing themselves to the Border Patrol. And in doing so, what they're doing is declaring asylum. They are seeking asylum, and they have a routine phrase that they use. This then triggers everything that we've got going now, where they have to be taken into a detention center, and then they have to be processed. It used to be that they could stay in a detention center, but the detention centers are overwhelmed now. I mean, beyond belief, beyond belief. So what they're doing is that they are giving them a hearing date and turning them loose. Of course, that problem right then and there is the biggest problem that we've got, is that they are being turned loose. And, you know, the vast majority of them, it's been as high as 90% of these cases that are supposed to be adjudicated never
come back.
They don't come back because once they
mingle in with the population, good luck.
That's it. And the other problem that we've got with it is that the detention centers, because they are overwhelmed, because they are so overcrowded, several judges like in the Ninth Circuit Court and others have declared that it is inhumane and it is not conscionable for them to be kept in those overcrowded conditions. Well, yeah, I mean, we've got to agree to a certain degree, because, I mean, in some cases, like the detention center here in Dilley, Texas, just south of us, it's got three times the number of people that it's supposed to hold, three times.
Right.
And so, the toilets are backed up because a lot of the women don't know how to use toilets, how to flush the commodes, showers are overcrowded, and some of the teenagers, you know, have assaulted people in them. So it's really, really out of control. But the thing is that this is a new routine. This is a new play. This is a new game plan that is being executed by the cartels and by a lot of open borders people, where they are, you know, they are just being released. Now, what can be done about it? That's a good question. I've talked to several of my friends. I talked to one of my friends just moments before we chatted.
Mm-hmm.
And we really don't know. I mean, unless Mexico decides to take these people and hold them, and supposedly they're supposed to, but unless they do that on a very, very large scale, this problem is going to continue, and it's going to get worse. It has now become a game plan that folks are abusing. I mean, they are. Everyone is claiming asylum. Everyone is being adjudicated and then being released. And
that's right. No, it is really a crisis. This is a crisis. I don't know what people say. It's not a crisis. And you feel for people because you're right. I mean, the conditions are probably not the best. The conditions that they're in are not the best, but, you know, at the same time, what are we supposed to build? You know, thousands of, you know, of rooms on the border. I mean, that all of that has a cost, and, you know, it's not free. It's not free, but I just think it's, you know, there was recently a decision, I think the one you're making reference to, by the Ninth, one of the judges in the Ninth Circuit, saying that they couldn't be held in those situations and so on. I think that this stuff is, I mean, President Trump really needs to keep going forward with this, because my sense is most of the country understands that there's a crisis there. And I don't think that the Democrats understand, that people understand there's a crisis, if you know what I mean. And I think politically, this is dynamite for them. I mean, this is the disaster for the Democrats, and President Trump needs to continue talking about this. But, man, what a situation. Well, George, I want to thank you so much for joining us and giving us this update.
Sure.
I think it's a very sad situation on the border, just a terrible situation on the border. But I want to thank you for your input, not just on the border situation, but also on Mueller. I just think that, you know, I think the worst is behind Trump as far as Mueller is concerned. And I think if Democrats try to gin it up, I think it's going to hurt them, George.
Yeah. Well, you know, I really can't see how there can be a winning campaign for the Democrats when you look at the border crisis and you look at their behavior with this Mueller case. I really can't. I mean, I don't understand how logical thinking people can say that these folks you know, are beneficial as leaders to our country. I really can't.
No, I agree. I agree with you. I agree with you. They're not. They don't have any solutions except criticisms of Trump. You know, and those criticisms don't make a lot of sense when you see what's happening down on the border. Well, George, enjoy your rain down there in San Antonio.
Thank you very much.
And
Thank you very much, sir.
Do it again very soon. It's always a great pleasure to have you on.
You got it, buddy. Have a good one.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. We're going to take a little break, and we'll come back. I've got a few historical thoughts I want to share with you today. We'll be right back. Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. Again, our thanks to George Rodriguez for joining us today for an update of what's happening down on the border. There is a crisis on the border, and it is a crisis that it's humanitarian, if nothing else. Here's a couple of things that happened on this day in history. 1775, that's about a year and a half before the Declaration of Independence. Patrick Henry gave that great speech, "Give me liberty or give me death." It sort of became a rallying cry for the colonists. Give me liberty or give me death. Now, Patrick Henry went on to become governor of Virginia, but this one moment, this is his shining moment in American history. On this day, 1775, give me liberty or give me death. Here's another interesting little bit of information from on this day in history. This is 1994. That's 25 years ago. A fellow by the name of Luis Donaldo Colosio. He was the candidate for president in Mexico. He was on a campaign visit to Tijuana, the north of Mexico, and somebody shot him and killed him. I mean, he was just somebody walked up with a gun and blew the gun. And shot him. He was probably killed instantly. They rushed him to the hospital, of course, but he was probably killed instantly. Luis Donaldo Colosio, and I think that may have been the first time in Mexican history, at least recent Mexican history, that a candidate for president was shot to death. He would have been elected, of course, because he was representing the PRI, which is at the time was the majority party, and so he would have been elected president of Mexico in 1994. He was replaced, of course, by Mr. Cedillo, who turned out to be actually a pretty good president of Mexico. But nevertheless, on this day in 1994, Luis Donaldo Colosio was shot to death in the north of Mexico while he was doing some campaigning. You know, a lot of people began to make comparisons between him and Bobby Kennedy. They were both young men. They were both killed, of course, in campaigns. I don't know that the comparison is correct, but at least they were both shot while they were campaigning for president. In that respect, the comparison is the same. Well, listen, thank you very much for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas. I think we're going to get some rain tonight, and we're okay with that. We need rain in the spring. Good night, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.